As we continue our study in the life and ministry of the prophet Elijah, we turn now to 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 6, and then I'll also invite you to read with me and follow as I read from the 5th chapter of James, verses 16 through 18, as we concentrate our thoughts this evening on the prayer of Elijah. We've looked at the background to this passage. We've looked at the historical setting. We've looked at the evil that needed to be addressed by the prophet Elijah. And now in the passage before us, our thoughts will turn to the prayer of Elijah, in which he tells Ahab that there would be, in answer to his prayer, there would be no rain. 1 Kings 17, beginning at verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And then turning to the 5th chapter of the New Testament book of James, verse 16, the apostle says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, this evening we look at the appearance of Elijah before King Ahab and his announcement to the king that God is not dead. The God of Israel lives, he declares. And the God of Israel, who had made a covenant with his people Israel, is the living God who is faithful to keep his word. Now Elijah appears over against the prophets of Baal, who stood for a god, a so-called god, who did not live. And over against this Baal, the living God now declares his word to his people through the prophet Elijah. And we will see in this passage that the living God, in answer to the prayer of the prophet, keeps his word. I would like you to focus on this prayer with me. It's a prayer we're very familiar with. We have looked at it before. I'm sure you have seen it often. It's a very familiar story. But I want you to remember that as you look at it, you should be reading it, as it were, for the first time. And it should strike you that this was a powerful prayer. And it was powerful in the fact that it was rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And it was a prayer of faith. Prayer must always be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. When we pray, we must pray in line with what Scripture reveals. God's Word should be the guide for our prayer. And the reason that Elijah could pray this prayer, and that's what James the Apostle says, Elijah prayed and it did not rain. I mean, think of it. He prayed and it did not rain. We're praying for rain. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and that it would not rain for a period of at least three and a half years. There was a specific reason for that. That's a pretty powerful prayer. What was the basis for that prayer? Did he just think, you know, things are going bad here in Israel. This Ahab is, you know, he's a politician. Married this Jezebel character from Sidon and brought in all of these foreign gods. Kind of messed up the way things are in Israel, the way things should be. Maybe I think what we'll do is we'll have a little time to get together and we'll have a little prayer meeting. No, he didn't think like that, did he? He thought in line with Scripture on the basis of the Word of God that the one thing that was needed was that the glory of God would be demonstrated and the glory of God would be manifested among God's people in Israel. And so he searches the Word of God for the basis for his prayer. What was the foundation? What was the basis for this prayer that it might not rain? Not some other prayer, but this prayer that it might not rain. Well, the very foundation is revealed in the Word of God. For when we search the Word of God, we will find that the Lord himself had spoken and he had laid down in the provisions of his covenant with his people Israel, the provision that if they disobeyed the Lord, that he would withhold rain from blessing the lands and they would come under the curse of God's judgment because they had abandoned the Lord. Moses had warned Israel about that very thing in advance, using very strong language, saying that the person who breaks away from the Lord cuts himself off from the blessings of the covenant with God. And whoever breaks the covenant with the Lord will have the Lord against him instead of for him. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verse 17, it says this: take heed, this is Moses speaking for the Lord, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and that ye turn aside and serve other gods. Pause there. What was going on in the day of Ahab and Elijah? They were serving other gods. And Moses goes on from that and he says, don't serve other gods and worship them, because then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you and he will shut up the heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit. That was exactly the crime of which Israel was now guilty. And Elijah could go to the Word of God and see that God had revealed this threat against his people, and he could ask God to bring that threat and that judgment to pass, because he could ask God to do what God always does, to keep his word. And God kept his word. When Israel forsook the Lord and when they went to worship other gods, they were judged by God's covenant curses, his wrath. And God had spelled it out. What would happen to those who broke the covenant? The prophet could only now point back to that word of God and struggle in prayer for its fulfillment. Elijah didn't make this prayer up. He burrowed into the Word of God. He dug down deep into the Word of God to find a place to rest his faith. And he rested in the Word of the Lord, and he asks the Lord now to fulfill the word that he had spoken against Israel, that if Israel went after false gods, that he would judge them and that he would withhold the rain. Elijah prays that God would fulfill his word and thus glorify his name in that very day, that God would fulfill his covenant, that God would do what only God could do, bring about his sovereign will and his purpose and maintain his covenant and his statutes, his blessings or his curses. And in this case, Elijah is praying that God would be glorified in bringing the curses of judgment upon the people of God, for they had forsaken the Lord. The day of Ahab was a day of great apostasy, a day of great idolatry. And as we have already seen, but we should be reminded at this very point, the idolatry had not only just been a little dalliance of idolatry here and there, but because Ahab married Jezebel and brought the worship of Baal into his own family, as the king, he brought it into the kingdom of Israel, and the worship of Baal now became the national religion of the people of Israel. They had become idolatrous. It was time, Elijah said, for God to move, to fulfill his word of promise spoken there in Deuteronomy 11, verses 11 and verse 17, where God declared that if you fall away and if you become idolatrous, he would withhold the rain. And that's the foundation on which Elijah prayed. And we too must plead with God in prayer on the basis of his word. The basis of the word of God should be the very foundation upon which our prayer rests. The prayer of faith that James the Apostle speaks of is energized not because someone is so super spiritual. In fact, James says Elijah was a man just like us. Do you think you can pray like Elijah? Now we say, oh, that's a little too much. I don't think I could do that. James is saying he has a nature. That's this other translation that I read. Just like us. He's not any different than us. He's the same as us. And what James is saying is that we should pray like him. Our prayer should be activated by resting in the word of God. And anyone who prays in accordance with the word of God, who makes the content of the word of God, the content of his prayer, has in faith brought into his prayer the energy of the living word to which the Lord has bound himself, and he will respond and he will bless, because his word cannot fail. God will always be faithful to his word, and that's the foundation upon which Elijah went to work and prayed. Now, I'd like you to see that Elijah prayed that God would release the judgment of the Lord against the people for their idolatry. We've seen a little bit of that, but let's look at that more carefully. It's the prayer of Elijah's heart for God to reveal his holiness and his majesty and the power of his covenant wrath. He's not really concerned about bringing about damage to the crops by no rain and a drought that would cause everybody to go hungry. That was the judgment that he wanted to bring, because that was what God had prescribed as a judgment that would come for disobedience and for faith, for idolatry. And Elijah is praying that that would come so that God would be glorified and that God would use that to turn the hearts of the people back to him. The idea of the drought arose in Elijah's own mind because it was found in the word of God, and it demonstrates the very impotence and the powerlessness of Baal before the nation of Israel. Remember, Baal was the national god of not only the Sidonians, but now the people of Israel. When Jezebel married in and brought in this false religion, she brought in the false religion of a god who was supposed to be able to bring rain. But this god was powerless, impotent, could do nothing. And it is the living God, Elijah says, before whom I stand, he says, that will either bring rain or not bring rain. He is associating the power of the living God with the giving or the withholding of rain. Normally, Palestine is described in the Bible and was a land that was called a land that flowed with milk and honey. You remember the phrase. You've read it many times. Now it would be turned into a place of drought and barrenness, where famine would prevail and pestilence comes with famine and death. People would suffer. Why would Elijah pray for that kind of judgment? Because only God can withhold rain, and God would withhold rain when the people were disobedient and fell into idolatry, and that's exactly what was happening. He is praying for God's judgment to come to drive the people away from their false god to the true and the living God. That's why James says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. and gives us the example of Elijah as that kind of a person who prays. He was a righteous man, a man who is right with God. Not in possession of great energy in himself, but he possessed energy because he stood in a right relationship with God. And because he stood in a right relationship with God and he could pray in faith, it's the prayer of faith that released the power of God. And that's what we learn once more, that true prayer is that faith laying hold of God's word, pleading it, as it were, before God himself, and saying, as it's told us in 2 Samuel 7, verse 25, where the prophet says, "Do as you have said," calling God to be faithful to his word, to bring his word to pass, to pray on the basis of his word for what God has revealed and for what glorifies God. And this prayer would bring the judgment of God for the very reason that that judgment would turn the hearts of the people to the Lord again. Prayer is a part of God's providence, and prayer is a part of his plan and his purpose to accomplish his glory. And that's why Elijah prays for this judgment to come. And that's why we must pray as well. God has ordained prayer. Some people have said of us as Calvinists, "Well, if everything is predestined, why do you, as a Calvinist, believe in prayer?" It's a pretty simple answer, isn't it? Because God said so. Simple as that. Because God said, as he said here in this passage, and in this instance, that he would operate in a certain manner, and that when we pray, he accomplishes his purpose through prayer. The prayer that Elijah prays as he struggles for God's glory releases the power of God and brings that judgment upon God's people. But that judgment is brought for the purpose of God to drive the hearts of this people to himself once again. And we'll see that as we come in the later chapters to that point at which they assemble on Mount Carmel, and we see there that the great contest between the false prophets of Baal and the little lonely prophet Elijah is made, and the offering is burnt with fire, and the people say, "The Lord God is the Lord." They confessed him, and their hearts were turned to him once again. But notice that though he was only a man, he had the power to close the heaven's windows and dry up the earth's streams. Not only would there be no rain, but in a land where the dew of the morning would be there and it would water the earth, he says, the dew will be dried up as well, because the judgment of God was ordained in the word of God, and that was brought about through the prayer of faith. As the writer James says about Elijah, he was a man just like us. He remarks that that was a prayer of faith, and it accomplishes great things. The prayer of faith is given by the Lord to his church today. I rather doubt that many of us would like to think we're just like Elijah. We should be able to pray and God will do many great things. I don't think we really think that way often, do we? But really, that's what James is saying we should. We should have this kind of ability to pray, resting on the word of God, praying on the basis of his word, praying that God will glorify himself, because the prayer of the righteous man avails much, and that prayer has been given by the Lord to his church, and there is no greater power operative in the world than the prayers of those who are righteous in the sight of God. That's why James says Elijah was just a man. He wasn't a superman. He wasn't someone who had a long track record of being a great and a mighty person. When he comes on the scene, it just tells us Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe and Gilead appears. We don't know a thing about him. Other than that, we don't know what school he went to. You know, did he go to the school of prayer? Did he get a certificate? Did he get a degree? No. It just tells us in the book of James that Elijah was a man just like us. He had a nature like us. But he prayed. He prayed. How did he pray? Well, when you have to look at this passage and then you compare Scripture with Scripture, you see a few things. You see, in this passage, he says in our text in verse 1 and 2 of 1 Kings 17, he says, "There shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And then it tells us that it would not rain for 3 years. But then we turn to the pages of the New Testament, and we find there, not only in James 5, which we've read, that it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, but Jesus himself says the same thing in Luke 4. Our text in 1 Kings 17 says that it would not rain for 3 years. What do we deduce from that? By comparing Scripture with Scripture, we can deduce that Elijah had already been in prayer for at least 6 months before he went to speak with Ahab and declare to him that the drought would last for another 3 years. He was telling Ahab, on the basis and upon the foundation of the word of God, which was already being felt and already being fulfilled, that this drought was going to last another 3 years. And he meant it as a judgment from the Lord. I find it interesting, Elijah was not swayed by the power of Ahab. He stood up to the king. He wasn't intimidated at this juncture by the wicked Queen Jezebel, because he knew the sovereign Lord whose word he bore to the king. And he prayed on the basis of that sovereign word for the glory of God and the power of God to come in response to his prayer. Beloved in the Lord, that's what James says we need to do. We need to pray like that and make use of that power. And we bind God to his word and ask him to carry out his word. Ask him to execute his word. Ask him to be faithful to what he has promised in his word, that he might accomplish his glorious purposes in and through us, his church. The church must live in the awareness of that power and pray in faith, because that's how Elijah prayed. That's the example James gives to us in James 5 of prayer, the example of Elijah who prayed in faith, resting on the power of the word of God. And the prayer of faith is the power that makes the church capable of powerful deeds for the glory of God. This world-dominating power will again be ours if we as the church learn to pray the prayer of the righteous, the prayer that drips with the energy of the word of God, the prayer that receives its content not out of our own thinking and our own minds, but on the basis of the revealed word of the living God, which tells us that he alone is God and he will accomplish his great and powerful purposes. Now, I'm sure that Elijah, if he was just like us, might have had a few little thoughts that went through his mind as well before he went and appeared before Ahab. Have you ever thought about that? You know, what possessed him? What shall I do? What can I do? How should I act? What should I do? I'm just an uncultured child of the desert. He's from Tishbe, and he's a Tishbite. Tishbites were an uncultured people, and they were desert wanderers. And, you know, he really wasn't a cultured, recognized person. And perhaps the more he pondered his situation, the more difficult the situation might have seemed to him. And no doubt Satan whispered in his ear as well, "You can't do anything. Look at what's going on. There's 450 prophets of Baal. The situation's hopeless." But in all of that, there was one thing Elijah could do. He could pray. He could take himself to that grand resource that's available for every deeply troubled soul. He could pray. And as he did, James tells us in James 5, verse 17, he prayed earnestly. He prayed because he was assured that the Lord God, to whom he prayed, lived and ruled over everything. And he prayed because he realized that God is almighty and that with him all things are possible. And he prayed because he knew his own weakness. He knew his own insufficiency. And therefore he turned from himself to the one who is clothed with might and majesty, who is infinitely self-sufficient, the Lord God Almighty. Elijah's prayer rested on the revealed word of God. And it was a prayer that was a response to the promise of God and the revealed word that taught God's purposes and plans. And his prayer was waiting on God to answer. He waited upon the Lord to answer this prayer and called upon the Lord to be faithful to his word. And he linked his prayer to the glory of God. Elijah didn't do this for self-glory. Elijah didn't do this to make a name for himself. Elijah wanted Israel to know one thing, and we'll see that in the later chapters, that the Lord God is God. That's why when he comes on the scene, he says, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years by my word." He linked his prayer to the glory of God. But I remind you, Scripture says he was just a man. Just a man. He has a nature like us. And so, beloved, if we do not pray such prayers, it may be that we are no longer men and women like Elijah, resting our prayer on the word of God, praying on the basis of God's promises, waiting on God to fulfill what he has declared that he would do and his purpose, and that our hearts have not got the glory of God as the answer to our prayers and the purpose for which we pray. May the Lord make us a mighty people of prayer so that we pray the way Elijah prayed, righteously, so that our prayers are undiluted by disobedience and unhindered by unconfessed sin. Powerful prayer, so that we prevail against the tide of idolatry, because we live in a day of great idolatry. Idolatry that has infected and invaded the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and idolatry against which we must stand as well. And may it be that we pray effectively, discerning in God's word, his will, and how God intends to carry out his purpose, and then praying, "Do as thou hast said in this day and in this hour, so that your name may be glorified." And may we pray earnestly so that our hearts will grow strong through our persistence in prayer, that God would receive the glory, the praise, and the honor in all things. Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed. Calls us to pray. That's what James is saying. That's what we see in this passage. That's what God calls us to do. Let us pray together.